Welcome back. Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. This is Bomani Jones. No need for a long introduction. Our next guest is the CEO of the Amer I Can Foundation, which we'll talk a bit more about, and he is also the greatest football player of all time. We welcome Jim Brown to the show. Mr. Brown, thank you for coming on, sir.
Good morning. It's good to be on with you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Now, the reason we talked about this a little bit yesterday, I wanted to speak with you because the NFL has announced that it is going to hire experts to probe whether NFL players have been using gang signs in their end zone celebrations. Number one, do you think this is something the NFL should be concerned with?
Well, after I talked with you, I did a little research. I called my real good friend, Mr. John Wooten, with the Fritz Pollard Alliance, and he contacted the league, and there was a little misunderstanding. They are not hiring experts, but the FBI that is involved made a speech, I think, to the owners and said that they were going to take action for those individuals that are flashing gang signs on TV. gang signs. I don't think any of them seem to understand what gang signs are, and I think it's kind of a superficial way to really try to bring about any positive change for the league or for these young men in the community that they're from. So I am totally against approaching it from this kind of a, we're going to, you know, get the signs and then we're going to punish you. That will not solve a doggone thing.
All right, we're talking to Jim Brown here on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I also spoke with you and I said I was surprised the NFL chose to announce this because it seemed like something, if the NFL was going to take the initiative to explore this, it could have been done without bringing it to the forefront of the public, because I think most people weren't thinking about this. Do you wonder if the NFL told us that they were doing this just so they could tell us that they were doing this?
You're a pretty bright young man.
I try.
Well, a lot of things goes on that is about public relations and about really securing the position of people that work with the NFL. I don't know why they would have announced this. In fact, when I talked to my friend John, no one at the league office seemed to know who really released it. And in the release, you know, they had quotes from Dennis Northcliffe, who's quite a young man, and he's out of Compton, California. He knows a lot about the community and a lot about gangs and how people in gangs have improved their lives and even how people in gangs have helped him. So I can't give you a definitive answer on that because it seems to be a little confusion, you know, that's coming from the NFL itself.
All right, we're talking to Jim Brown about the NFL and its looking into gang signs in the NFL, in the league. Now, your work with Amer I Can has always been about helping guys improve their lives. Very many of them were ex-convicts, helping them get into a situation to become viable members of the workforce and in the community. But you also have done work with gangs in crafting truces and ending violence between gangs. And some of those truces have been the blueprints for other truces that have been used in this country and, if I'm not mistaken, around the world. But I have noticed that in your work, you do not advocate ending gangs themselves. Why that difference?
Well, absolutely not. Because, first of all, you have to invest in what I call positive change. You must recognize that there are many, many gang members, but there are only a few gang members that commit crimes and commit acts of violence. So consequently, if you can get to those leaders who would love to change their lives, make an investment in them, give them an educational course of life management skills, keep their self-esteem, and apply the positive things that they have learned to their community, that's when you are going to get the results that you want. The battle is not gangs, because gangs represent communities. Communities are going to be forever. And if you're a Santana Block Crip, how do you say you're not a Santana Block Crip? All you can say is, I do not commit crimes in the name of being a Santana Block Crip. So you must understand the culture and make an investment in educating these individuals and giving the ones who want to make a change a chance to do it, and then let them affect their own community in a way that you never could. Now, one quick thing I'd like to say to you. I have gang members in Wayside Jail that are now stopping riots, actually, between Latinos and African Americans. I have gang members that are in certain schools here in Los Angeles that are making those schools better by bringing grade point averages up, et cetera, et cetera. I have gang members in the street on the west side of L.A. that have created a truce for the last 3 years that have taken the homicide rate down to basically nothing. I have gang members in Houston that are working with Texas Southern to help young people transition into their freshman year at Texas Southern. So what we have done is taken these individuals, turned their lives around through education and caring, and they are now very effective and positive change in various aspects of this country.
Now, Mr. Brown, let me make sure I have an understanding of what you're saying. It seems as though what you're saying with your work is, rather than trying to eliminate gangs, is to use the power of gangs to affect positive change.
Use the power of those individuals who have organized in their community to affect positive change, because instead of dealing with negative acts, they can deal with positive acts, and they have the influence already, and they know the neighborhoods, and so consequently, they know how to work with each other to make each other better, much more than me. I give them my support through education, life management skills, and helping them get jobs, but they do the rest, and it's the only way that we will ever be able to change that culture. We were allowed to go in Wayside Jail when the Latinos were basically controlling it, the Mexican Mafia controlling it. We were allowed to go in with our educational program and break the color line because of the relationships that we have developed over the years with the Latino community and the fact that we have helped their kids in the juvenile camps. It must be a positive approach based upon education, based upon job opportunities, and based upon a mutual kind of respect. Now, remember this. Criminal activity should be prosecuted. Violence should be prosecuted. No doubt about it. So we don't mince on that arena. But that is up to law enforcement, and law enforcement have millions of dollars to do it, and they're not doing it, because if they were doing it, then we wouldn't have the problem.
All right, we're talking to Jim Brown about the NFL's decision to look into gang signs. And it's interesting that you said that the FBI came to speak with the NFL about this, and that is what prompted this. Are you worried that by the FBI coming at the NFL this way, it seems that there is much more of an emphasis on enforcing on gangs themselves rather than trying to understand what the role is that gangs play in the community?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Law enforcement gets millions of dollars to do their work, and a lot of the dollars they get will not go to community organizations that can really be effective from the standpoint of how do you operate on the ground. Law enforcement doesn't really prevent anything. They are there to prosecute crime. They prevent very few crimes. What we need is the prevention of those crimes and the ability to deal with people in their communities and have the communities help you work on prevention of crimes. So consequently, when the FBI says, you know, they're gang signs and we want to stop them, that's in their parameters. They can go say, okay, we know that's a gang sign, it means this, and that's against the law, and we can arrest you. But I don't think that's going to solve the problem, because it's going to be very hard to prove what a gang sign really means, because you have a mixture of things. Sometimes it's something negative, sometimes something positive. But when you look at the sign, it's the same thing.
Right, and that was one thing I wanted to ask you about with gang signs in particular, because we can say guys are throwing up gang signs, that's bad. But honestly, most people having that discussion neither are involved in a gang or have a real understanding of gangs. I can say that I certainly do not. When someone, let's just hypothetically say someone does an end zone dance and does throw a sign for the Santana Block Crips, for example, what is he saying?
He's saying, baby, you guys have allowed me to leave the community. I have been able to leave that community. You have supported me to do a positive thing. I am now successful. I'm on TV. I'm going to do this dance, and I'm going to throw the sign so you'll know that I'm thinking about you.
All right.
And the silent thing is that if I'm able to do something to help your life become positive, I'm going to do that. They're not throwing signs to perpetuate violence. That would be a ridiculous kind of thing. It's a celebration of success. Because why would you be in the National Football League and you just scored a touchdown and your team just won a game and you are celebrating, you're happy, and you want to then send something negative to your homeboys? You want to send something positive, because deep down inside, most of these NFL players that have belonged to gangs, they want to do something about changing their neighborhoods, and most of them are doing something to change their neighborhoods.
All right, we're talking to Jim Brown, and we also, when we talked on the phone, I also mentioned Darren McFadden, because I thought it was interesting that as he was approaching the draft, one of the things that people brought up was that he had two brothers that were in gangs. Now, you and I both know that in Little Rock, Arkansas, gangs are a fairly prevalent sort of thing, but my first thought was, if McFadden got this far without being in the gang, like, or really banging with the gang, then chances are it's because some people looked out for him. Is it safe to say a lot of the guys in the NFL that are gang members actually got there in some way because of the help from members of the gangs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That guys, and I can call their name. Dennis Northcutt was quoted the other day, and he gave a very intelligent answer. Dennis will do anything that he can do to help his community in a positive way. Not only his community, he will help people. He's a friend of mine. He has a great knowledge of the gang culture. He could be utilized by the NFL. Willie McGinnis is a very bright, influential individual that comes out of Long Beach. He has tremendous contacts there. He's invested money there. So if the NFL would take these players that are active, that have come out of gangs and been successful, and utilize them, get around a round table, invite me also, okay? Get around a round table and sit down and plan a positive approach and help these individuals, then you'll have a very powerful unit that's approaching the change in the way that it should be approached.
All right, we're talking to Jim Brown, and I think it's safe to assume that given that after we talked, you had to do some research about what had happened, has the NFL ever talked to you about gangs and the NFL and what you could do to help?
We gave a presentation in Phoenix at one of their symposium. I brought three gang members there. They created a thing where they wanted to take rookies to the Hall of Fame. I went down with the Cleveland rookies. They sent out a video about gangs. I refused to look at it. They have some nice people, you know, that are dealing in that arena. But they're very nice people, but they have no concept of the culture. And for some reason, Mr. Goodell, who I've talked to two or three times, seems to be afraid to take advantage of the expertise that American has. And I don't know why, but we have the expertise, we have the personnel, we have the backing of the sheriff's department, we have the superintendent of schools, we have gotten the top award from the National Conference of Black Mayors, we got the top award from NAPSE, the National Organization of Black Educators. It goes on and on, so our credibility is impeccable. We are allowed to go into the jails and deal with the racial situation and even take our cameras because they trust us to that degree. My staff is 95% gang members who have changed their lives around, and every one of my male gang members take care of their biological children. Now, I don't know what more you can put in front of the National Football League to say we have a solution, sir. Just pay attention to us.
All right, we're here talking to Jim Brown, and while... And I mentioned this a little bit before when talking about Roger Goodell, and I basically wondered why Goodell would make, why the NFL would let out a public announcement about this, and you say that that was not the intention. There's some confusion there. But Roger Goodell also made a big deal about a year and a half ago about these character issues in the NFL and brought to the forefront some of the legal issues that players had. And it seemed almost as though he once again brought an issue to the forefront that people weren't generally that concerned about. Is it possible that Roger Goodell is using players as political capital in his new reign as commissioner?
Well, I'll tell you, I like to be honest, and I truly believe that Mr. Goodell is a man of character and that he's really trying to do the right thing. I think the problem with the National Football League is that it is a fraternity, but the fraternity has different elements that work together. The whole fraternity doesn't work as one. And when you have 32 owners, highly successful businessmen, powerful men in government and politics, then, and you are the commissioner, how much can you influence these 32 men to do if it's something that they do not understand thoroughly and might not be conservative? So I give him that break because I believe in talking with him that he would love to reach out and maybe do some things that he hasn't done. But it is difficult when you've been, I have some owners that are my friends. Al Davis is a dear friend of mine. You know, but Al is an independent kind of guy. But he's a heck of a guy because he has a pension for players himself out of his own money. But anyway, I think that Goodell should be given a pass, and I don't think that he's trying to use the players. I think that he's doing the best he can do under the circumstances, but I think it's going to take a little courage to step outside of that box and reach out and deal with some people that deal with these gang members every day.
Well, is it possible to change the mind of 32 ridiculously rich people about young black men that the society is largely trained to be afraid of?
Well, you see this conversation we're having right now?
Yes, sir.
The interest that you have in this subject and the intelligence that you have on this subject, this is the way we get public opinion to be on our side. And I applaud you for reaching out to me and to having the knowledge that I work in this arena. Jason Whitlock, man, has wrote a hell of an article in Playboy, June Playboy.
Yeah, I remember that one.
It's a hell of an article, and Jason is looking into this on every level. And there's some things that are very scary because, you know, a lot of people make a lot of money off of these negative images and the negative activity of gang members. You know, most of our prison guards make over $100,000, and they deal with overtime, and they deal with overcrowded prisons, so forth and so on. The guard union did not want a reentry program and forced Schwarzenegger not to set it up. And the director resigned because she felt it was terrible that we couldn't have a reentry program which would really deal with public safety. So there are a lot of things that we would have to examine politically that would show there is a selfishness in all of this. It's not that everybody's trying to do it so that we can save lives. Sometimes money plays a big part in the decisions that are made.
All right, we've got two more questions here for Jim Brown, and once again, we thank you for coming on. Now, the tricky thing for the NFL has got to be, while you are able to make a separation between gang membership and gang violence, most people, i.e. ticket buyers, sponsors, so forth and so on, associate gangs and those signs with violence necessarily. Is there any way for how can the league deal with that? They are selling a product, and the people they're selling the product to associate gangs with these negative images. How can the NFL, or is it possible for the NFL to deal with the fact that it needs to learn more while simultaneously trying to do what it's out there to do, which is make money?
Well, I'll tell you something. If the NFL reached out, I'll give you just a straight example. Sheriff Baca, a tremendous law enforcement. He's a sheriff out here. He's a tremendous law enforcement individual. But he's also a great human being. And he has done programmatically, the sheriff department have done more to make it safe, make things safe, and to help gang members get education and to help them get jobs. If the NFL would just showcase Sheriff Baca and the work that he's doing and go into that jail and see how the color line is being crossed and broken down, and see the individuals and the background of the individuals that have brought about such a positive change, to just showcase the work. Now, the Cleveland Browns as an organization have backed American in Cleveland, and I kind of use that across the country because they have financially given us the ability to work in Cleveland. So we are working in the schools. I'm going to bring about five of my guys from across the country to meet with the mayor because they've had killings, four or five killings in the last two or three weeks. And the city is in a panic. So I'm going to bring most of my guys in that are leaders and work with the mayor in his outreach program simply because the Cleveland Browns, who's a part of the NFL, believes in us. And Randy Lerner and his family have always supported us. And they have allowed us to be able to come to the rescue, not the rescue, but to the aid of the mayor and to develop a consortium of people that can try to deal with this outreach and deal directly with the violence.
All right, we got our last question for Jim Brown. And one of the, you talk about the Cleveland Browns working with your organization. Another person that has done work with your organization that would probably surprise people just a little bit is Bill Belichick. And the two of you guys are very good friends. And on a bit of a lighter note, I have to tell you, I can't imagine you and Bill Belichick hanging out, sipping cognac, pointing at the ladies in the bar. It's the one thing I cannot possibly imagine seeing.
Well,
you and Bill Belichick are friends. Wow.
I'm glad you know. This is my dear friend. I worked as a consultant when he was with the Browns. He is probably one of the finest Americans that you'll ever come across. This man is really an unbelievable person. For the last 8 or 9 years, he has been almost our number one supporter. But not only did he put money with us, He went to the jails with us. He went to the community with me. He went to the school with me. In Cleveland, in a hotel room, he met with local gang members there. In L.A., in my home, he met with local gang members here. He is a hero among that culture because they know that he truly cares about them changing their lives. And not only did he put his money up, he put his time up. In our fundraiser at the last Super Bowl, Bill brought his lady, and he stayed about an hour and a half to 2 hours and testified to all of the guests that were there that we were a tremendous program, and he would always support us. He had, I don't know if it made him lose the Super Bowl or not, but he probably shouldn't have been there, because that was Thursday night before the game. But he's that kind of individual, and I'm so proud to have a friend like that. And you know, I'm glad you were able to bring that up.
And hey, Mr. Brown, you can be honest about this. When you're somewhere and you're a little bit shy and you want to meet somebody, it's Bill Belichick that goes over and has the courage to introduce you over there to him, right?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Jim Brown, I thank you so much for spending the time with us and helping bring some light to this issue that a lot of people might not have been aware of before. So thank you so much for joining us.
Well, stay as intelligent as you are. Have a good day.
All right, sir. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, now 860-0850, pound 850, and star 850 on your mobile phones. This is Bomani Jones. We will be right back on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz.